Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah. And as always, if you are listening for the first time, welcome. I'm so happy that you found us and so happy that you're here. As always, again, if you are a returning listener, welcome back and thank you so much for joining me again this week. As with prior weeks, we will once again be looking at the lectionary text assigned for this week, this time for the week of July 31st. And the lectionary texts, as always, I've explained this before, but I like to explain it every week, just in case you are tuning in for the first time. The lectionary texts are a series of assigned texts for a certain week in the church year, and they're divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. This episode is split into two parts, and in this first part, we'll be talking about the Old Testament readings from Ecclesiastes as well as Psalm 49. Both of this week's Old Testament texts are a bit on the complicated side, actually, and actually all of the texts for this week could be described as a bit on the complicated side, but in this first half, we'll be talking about the Old Testament texts, and they can both be read as gloomy a little bit and maybe lacking in hope, but there is hope, I think, and I'm looking forward to exploring these texts with you, discussing if there is hope present in them, where the gospel in these texts is, what we can take away from them in our everyday lives, and we'll be discussing that soon, but first we do have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll jump right in with this week's text from Ecclesiastes. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text that we will be discussing today is from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 and 12 through 14, and also chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. And that's our reading for this week from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. And it's hard to believe that the author who writes this section of Ecclesiastes is the same author who wrote one of my favorite texts, which is less than two chapters later in Ecclesiastes, that text that talks about a time for every purpose. But that's not what we're reading this week. This week we're reading this gloomy, very grumpy, very unhappy sounding text from this teacher in Ecclesiastes. And this is a form of wisdom literature, which asks the question of what is the meaning of life? And the answer here is there is none. Life is emptiness. This is one cheery teacher. The author of Ecclesiastes, this person who refers to himself as a teacher, has clearly seen it all and done it all, if we are to believe his self-proclaimed achievements of the first two chapters. And his conclusion is that all that he has seen and done is, in fact, vanity. Verse 21 says, "Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil." The author definitely seems to have come to conclusions about life and its meaning, or in this case, its lack of meaning. And it's possible, I do see his point a little bit about toiling and others who receive without toiling, but it's not the most considerate way to look at the world, and it certainly doesn't coincide with a lot of other places in the Bible and what they have to say. And it doesn't coincide with the text that we'll be talking about in the second half of this week's episode from the Gospel of Luke and what Jesus has to say in a similar situation. What he is seeming to say is death robs all life of meaning. And this is one of the logical conclusions that we could draw from what the author of Ecclesiastes is talking about. But in the gospel lesson for today, and I'm not going to cover that too much here because we'll talk about it later, but Jesus also understands that death creates a crisis of meaning for humanity, but he draws a different conclusion, which is that death can drive us to look for the meaning of life beyond what we can accumulate, possess, or build. And again, we'll talk more about the gospel text in the second half of this episode, but right now we have to try to make sense of this text from Ecclesiastes. And as always, I like to turn to commentators to help me gain a place to start in understanding these assigned texts. And this week, the commentary that I read comes from a man named Walter C. Buzard, professor of religion and philosophy department, a professor in the religion and philosophy department at Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa. And he writes, "The theme of the entire book is sounded in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." He says the word translated as vanity is notoriously difficult to render in English. So the Hebrew word is hebel, and he says it's very hard to render, to translate into English. In part, he says, because it is a tensive symbol that simultaneously signifies multiple meanings. One author proposes vapor, because vapor is at once insubstantial, transient, and sometimes foul or poisonous. Throughout the book, the teacher asserts that all things in life are ephemeral and vaporous. Consequently, much of human activity is futile and pointless. The lection, he says, bypasses a poem that asserts the monotonous character of creation, and that's Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 11. We skipped those verses this week. But that's where the author says there's nothing new under the sun. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, he's seen it all, he's done it all, he doesn't feel like there's anything new in life. And so there's nothing new under the sun, and people are destined to disappear unremembered. So this teacher, or king, as he also refers to himself, has apparently explored life and decided that it's all vanity. It is all vapor that can just be blown away on a breeze or a whim. So why bother? He says this because he apparently has conducted a series of experiments about finding meaning in life, and they all, at least in his mind, have failed. His first experiment was a quest for wisdom, which he actually achieved. He attained wisdom, but his conclusions are still gloomy. This guy, to my mind, is like the Eeyore of the Old Testament. He's just very gloomy about everything. So he acquired wisdom, but he concluded that it was vanity or vapor, because the acquisition of wisdom ultimately led to sorrow. So the more he knew, the more he understood about terrible things in the world, apparently. He finally concludes that wisdom is useless because we all die, whether wise or foolish. Great, okay. So then in chapter 2, the teacher seeks for meaning in pleasure, which is described in a couple of ways. It's described as sensuality, as wealth, as labor. But he's not satisfied with what comes out of these quests either. In this week's verses, he is grumbling that his labor is useless, because ultimately the fruits of that labor will go to others, who may or may not have worked for it themselves, who may be wise or foolish, but they, you know, he's just upset that this, all of this labor he has done will eventually and ultimately go to someone else. And he's grumbling. And I just keep thinking, isn't this guy so cheery? Don't you really just want to invite him to your next dinner party? I mean, wouldn't that be fun? Anyway, our commentator writes, he continues, the penultimate conclusion to the teacher's search appear in verses 18 through 23. He hated his life since all that he had done was vaporous and transitory. He hated his labor because he knew he would surely die only to leave the fruit of his work to someone who may or may not be worthy. As a consequence, the teacher was overcome with hopeless despair, concluding that human toil and strain profited not at all. Our days are full of pain, work is vexatious, and sleep is ruined. Verses 24 to 26 soften the dismal tone of what has come before. If God has so ordered the world, there is nothing to be done but to make the best of it, eating, drinking, and enjoying our toil as we can. Those who are pleasing to God fare better than those who do not, for they have a measure of wisdom and knowledge and joy. Ugh. I don't know if I dislike this text so much because of its negativity, or if I dislike it so much because I can actually relate to it, I can resonate with it in some ways, because there are days when I can completely relate to this teacher's dismal view of life. Do you ever have those days? Do you ever have those days where everything seems futile, you wonder why you even bother, you know, those days where you think, ugh, why did I even get out of bed today? I mean, I definitely do, and the hubby likes to point out that I am channeling Eeyore, which is probably why I thought of that character while reading this text. The teacher is definitely channeling Eeyore, and I can sometimes channel Eeyore myself. Are we just to decide then that everything is pointless because eventually we all die, so why bother? You know, why, instead of why bother getting out of bed, why bother at all? But even the brief glimpse of hope at the end, or even this maybe it's not even hope, but this brief shift of out of the gloominess at the end with the eating and drinking and being merry is just saying that we may as well enjoy life while we have it because it's all fleeting anyway. Okay, and there is a grain of sense in all of this. All of us could do better to various degrees at living in the moment and enjoying the here and now because we never know what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, we could live in the moment. There's people who say, eat the cookie, because, you know, tomorrow, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Doesn't mean eat the pack of cookies, which, you know, cookies are good. Sometimes I like to eat a pack of cookies, but that's not what we're talking about. But, you know, eat the cookie. Tell your family and friends that you love them. Treat people with kindness and respect. Try to make your corner of the universe a slightly better place today, because tomorrow is not promised to us, at least here on Earth. Eternity is promised to us through God's covenant, but there is something to be said for living in the moment. And we're going to talk about this more, but we do have to take a quick break, so stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We have been talking about the text for this week from the book of Ecclesiastes, and how the teacher in this text feels as though everything is vanity or vapor, just blown away in an instant. And before the break, I was talking about living in the moment, because tomorrow isn't promised to us, but eternity is promised to us. And I'm going to take a moment here, now that we're back, to talk about something that I've always struggled with. I've always struggled with people who see their time on earth as pointless, because the real point is getting to heaven and spending time with God. And I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything here. I'm talking about my own feelings. You know, you're always free to disagree with me. I don't ever want to say that I am right and everyone else is wrong, but I'm going to just talk about my own struggles with some of these things. Yes, spending time with God, spending eternity with God is promised to us, and it is an amazing promise. But God didn't create us and the entire universe just so we can ignore that creation like it's some sort of cosmic bus stop on the way to somewhere better. We are here, I feel, to do God's work, to share God's love with everyone we meet, and to try to make God's kingdom present in the here and now, not just some distant future that we may or may not see. I get frustrated with this, and actually it's probably going to, you know, come up through in other times as we go through these discussions together. Again, if you feel differently, that's fine. I'm just telling you my personal feeling. I have digressed a little bit about, you know, living in the here and now, not only looking forward to the future. I think that it's a tension that we have to live in, both of them. And we'll talk about this as these texts go on. But let's get back to the text from Ecclesiastes. And the teacher in this text from Ecclesiastes is coming at this journey from a slightly different angle. He's looking for meaning and satisfaction from temporary things. He even seems to think that maybe if he searches hard enough, he might be able to somehow thwart death. He's the opposite of the ones who believe that they don't need to worry about life on earth because it's temporary. He understands that it's temporary. He's tried everything to find meaning, and then he's come to this conclusion that there is no point, so why should he even bother? There is, though, a middle ground between these two extremes. There's a middle ground between thinking that everything is temporary, why bother, and just feeling like everything is futile, so why bother? And we see them in the other texts for this week and in the text that we've been discussing for the past several weeks. One last time, I'm actually going to turn to our commentator's words, because he writes, "Our vain lives find their meaning in Christ. Embracing the teacher's message is to acknowledge the truth of his claim. Our end is inevitably death. Our accomplishments will be the legacy of someone who comes after us, be that person worthy or not. Our hope, however, is that our life is hidden with the resurrected one, with Christ in God. Our glory will not be in our works, our treasures, our fame, or anything we may do. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." And this is looking forward to those New Testament promises, of course. We are called to do God's work in this world and to keep doing the ministry of Christ. We don't do these things because we are going to benefit from them. We do them because we've been called to do them, and to hopefully leave the world a little bit better for the generations to come after. Yes, the work that we do is going to benefit those who come after us. It is going to be enjoyed by people who aren't us, who maybe didn't do the same work that we did. We're never, ever going to be perfect, but that doesn't mean that we just give up on the here and now. We continue to move forward. We continue to do the work of God and to share the love that we have been given with our neighbors. When we focus on everything but the love and ministry we have been given is when we find ourselves in trouble. We start seeing the world as a place that is pointless, so why do we even need to worry about it? We start to be frustrated with everything, and we seek to fill that frustration with stuff and the acquisition of more stuff, kind of like the teacher in Ecclesiastes did. His stuff was knowledge and labor and all kinds of things, but he was still seeking to fill that frustration with something. The promises that God has given us are eternal, and they mean that one day we will, in fact, be made whole and perfect and forever in God's presence. But the promise that God has given to us aren't only one way. The promises that God has given to us aren't only one way. I mean that they're not only one directional. We have entered into those promises as well, and we are called to do God's work in the world in the here and now. So those promises go both ways. And we're going to continue actually talking about this because this theme continues in the psalm. So I'm going to actually move on to the psalm now, move away from Ecclesiastes. And the psalm for this week is Psalm 49, verses 1 through 12. And it says, "Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the harp. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of my persecutors surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? Truly no ransom avails for one's life. There is no price one can give to God for it. For the ransom of life is costly and can never suffice, that one should live on forever and never see the grave. When we look at the wise, they die. Fool and dolt perish together and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they named lands their own. Mortals cannot abide in their pomp. They are like the animals that perish." And again, that's Psalm 49, verses 1 through 12. And some weeks when I read the texts that are assigned in the lectionary, they don't seem to really go together. They don't seem to really have a cohesive theme. But not this week. I'm definitely noticing some very strong themes, some very strong threads that are running throughout all four of the texts for this week. And definitely between the psalm and this earlier text that we read from Ecclesiastes. Our commentator on this psalm comes at it actually from an interesting angle that I hadn't really thought of before I started reading his commentary. And the commentator is Adam Harrelson, assistant professor of preaching and worship at Andover Newton Theological School in Newton Center, Massachusetts. And he starts with the premise that money can, in fact, make us happier. Sort of. He cites a study that was done examining the connection between happiness, between the happiness levels and annual income, and how obviously income levels that are high enough to pay bills, to give us enough to eat, to give us basic shelter, etc., are going to make us more happy or at least less stressed than those income levels which do not cover basic necessities. He writes, "To put it more bluntly, money can only buy you happiness to a point, but money can buy you satisfaction." This, he says, I think is an interesting place to begin reading this psalm. By distinguishing between happiness and satisfaction, we distinguish the emotional from the physical. According to the authors of the study and the psalmist, we can only sate our desires with the stuff we buy. We can trust in our wealth to bring satisfaction, but satisfaction is not happiness. And more importantly for the psalmist, satisfaction is not safety. Too often our desires to be sated morph into a confidence that our stuff will save us. The sad truth, according to the psalmist, is that our salvation cannot be bought. This is both terrible news and good news. So you see here, even as he was writing on this psalm, you can see definite themes carrying over from our reading from Ecclesiastes. Again, we've got this need for stuff, for something to fill that void. And here he's saying stuff, but in the Ecclesiastes text we were talking about all the things the teacher tried to do in order to find some meaning in life. And so our commentator says that this is both terrible news and good news. And the terrible news, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, and as the teacher in Ecclesiastes lamented, stuff happens and then we die. Pretty much that's what he was saying. We do stuff, we try stuff, and then eventually we die. Death will come, whether we are rich or poor, wise or foolish, whatever. Death will eventually come to claim us. And Hurlson points out that this psalm has an Ash Wednesday feel to it. Ash Wednesday is the day in the church year when we remember our own mortality. We remember that we are dust and that we will one day return to dust. But Ash Wednesday is also the beginning of Lent, the time in the church year that leads us to Good Friday, which then inevitably leads us to Easter and the promises of the resurrection. Death, like winter in Game of Thrones, is coming. But death does not get the last word. God gets the last word. And I'm going to talk about more on this after the break, but we do have to take a quick break, so stay tuned and we will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the psalm for this week and how the commentator said that it is like an Ash. There are elements of Ash Wednesday in this psalm because Ash Wednesday reminds us of our own mortality. And I made a very bad Game of Thrones reference by saying that death, like winter, is coming. But then that does lead me to death does not get the last word. God gets the last word. The promises of the resurrection get the last word. Another commentary I read this week is actually from one of my favorite teachers, Dr. James Lindbergh. He is retired now, but he was an Old Testament professor at Luther Seminary before he retired. And he also spent several semesters at the seminary that I went to, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California, when we were between Old Testament professors. So I had the honor of being one of his students and hearing him teach and give his insight into Old Testament lessons and readings and history. And I called him Dr. Lindbergh. He called me Rebecca for most of the first semester that I knew him. I think he was just, you know, very, very into the Old Testament. Rebecca and Sarah are both good Old Testament names, right? That's what I'm going with. He did eventually get it straightened out, but we used to joke about my name not being Rebecca. Anyway, so I want to turn to some commentary that he has written on this. He's actually divided the psalm into specific sections. The first of these is verses 1 through 4, which he has labeled as "Your Attention, Please." He says, "This psalm is designed to provide instructions." The hear and give ear language can be imagined as the way a teacher begins a class session. Here is teaching deemed important enough to go out to the whole world, with the words of wisdom for all people, whether high-ranking or humble, rich or poor. The teaching is the result of thought and reflection aimed at the afflicted, intending to comfort them. So that's his description of verses 1 through 4, and he says verses 5 through 15 can be labeled as "they can't take it with them." The problem, he says, that gave rise to the Psalms is identified in verse 5. Certain wealthy persons are making the lives of others in the community miserable so that they live in fear. The teacher gives three reasons why those being oppressed should not fear the wealthy. One, they too will die. Two, when they die, they will not take their wealth with them. And three, like so many sheep, those oppressors are marching toward Sheol, hell, the place of death. Verse 15, he writes, is a key statement because it makes the main point about God in this psalm in the form of an I statement. The sense of this verse is, I won't fear because God has ransomed me from the power of death, and now I live as a free person. Here is one of those rare places in the Psalms with a hint that beyond death, the believer will be with God. Verse 16 puts it clearly, so do not be afraid. He asks, but is there any good news in these texts? The statement about God ransoming points in that direction. We are directed toward the good news as expressed in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, saying that, and to give his, Christ's life, a ransom for many. And also in 1 Timothy, where it says, he, Christ, gave himself as a ransom for all. Because of God's work through Christ's death and resurrection, the ransom has been paid. We need not fear death. And now we can go on. We can start anew, living as people who have been ransomed, which means we are free. Yes, free indeed. And rich. Yes, rich toward God. The psalmist has a complicated relationship with death, and he's unwilling to either hate death or to totally embrace death. And the psalmist realizes that death and life coexist in an inextricable embrace, that deliverance is a messy process. So here you can see maybe why I said at the beginning of this podcast that these texts are complicated, that they hold certain things in tension. Death in both of these texts is inevitable, but it shouldn't fill us with the gloominess that all life is meaningless and that everything we do is nothing but vanity or vapor, which is the conclusion that the author of Ecclesiastes comes to. Like the psalmist, we need to neither fear nor embrace death. Again, we need to find that middle ground. We need to live the life that we have been given, to live the life and to do the work to which we have been called, because God has given us this life. God has called us to do work in the world. And we also need to live in the promise that death is not to be feared, because death does not hold the last word. God always has the last word. So this psalm being, as the one commentator said, holding elements of Ash Wednesday, reminds us that we are dust, that we are mortal, that death is inevitable. But it also reminds us that Ash Wednesday leads to Lent, which leads to Good Friday, which leads to Easter, and the promises of the resurrection. And the promises of the resurrection mean that we have been ransomed. As Dr. Lindberg said, we have been set free. We have been given these promises in God. God always has the last word. We need to live in the promise that death is not to be feared, because death does not have the last word. God, the promises of the resurrection, always have the last word. Life and death must always be held in tension, and we must live within that tension, knowing that our time in life is just as important in the grand scheme of things and in our relationship with God as knowing and trusting the promise that God has given us, that the promises that God has given us are in fact eternal, true, everlasting, however you want to describe that. And so I think for this week and with these texts, I invite you to live in and explore that tension, the tension that exists in both of these texts. As you go about your daily life this week, think about these texts. Think about the tension in these texts between those promises, between the inevitability of death, but the fact that death does not hold the last word. I invite you to live and explore that tension this week as you go about your daily tasks, and you can continue to grow in your relationship with God as you explore these texts. And that is actually all the time that we have for this week. I thank you once again for joining me as we discuss the readings from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2 and Psalm 49 that were assigned for the lectionary of July 31st, 2016. I hope that you'll join me again tomorrow as we move to the New Testament readings for this week. Those are from Colossians 3 and Luke chapter 12. As a reminder, always, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. We have a variety of topics, and if you're interested in listening to more podcasts, you can find all kinds of great podcasts there. You can also download those podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, any of the devices you may have on your, any of the apps you may have for your mobile device. You can find us there. Just type in GSMC and you should be able to find all of our podcasts. And you can follow us on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. So once again, thank you for joining me, and please always remember that you are a child of God, a beloved child.